Welcome to Sestercast, the Orphan Black podcast. I'm Jean McDonald, and I'm re-watching this series for the third time. My co-host, Kathy Campbell, is watching for the first time, so we make sure not to spoil any storylines beyond the episode we are currently discussing. Hello, Kathy, and welcome to season five.
Hi, Jean. Oh, my goodness, we made it. Final season, and I don't know what I'm going to do with my life when there's no more Orphan Black.
No more new Orphan Black.
Yes, no more new Orphan Black.
Nothing
will always return to our friends.
Yes, they will be there for you. So, yes, so this is our first episode of discussing season five. And the title of this episode is The Few Who Dare. But before we dive into this premiere for the season, Kathy and I are going to bring back our tradition from last December, which is Secret Sestra Santa.
Yay!
So we divided up the Sestras, and each of us is picking out a gift so that we would gift that Sestra if she, or Sestra brother in Felix's case, actually existed. So it was a lot of fun last year. And I actually bought a thing that I recommended for Rachel. I don't know what that says about me, except I said she was too tense and maybe a little neck massage gadget would be a good thing for her. And then I thought, you know what? I could use that neck massage gadget. And so I have it and I love it. But yeah, Kathy, you want to kick this Secret Santa off with your first pick?
Absolutely. We're going to start at the top with our first Sestra, who is Sarah.
Yeah.
And I decided that she needed a security system. So I picked out the wire cutter number one option, which is Simply Safe. Mm-hmm. It retails at $415, but I feel like she needed the full thing. It's got the motion sensors and entry sensors and video and all of that. And it doesn't require a monthly fee, so she doesn't have to necessarily worry about somebody hacking into it, but MK could probably protect her as well. So I feel like this is what the safe house needs, because it's way too easy for people to get into the safe house and then people not to know what's going on. So that's what I picked for Sarah.
That is a great pick for Sarah. Listeners, we will put links to all of these gifts in case they intrigue you and you want to buy them for yourself or for your own Sestras and Sestra brothers. So I will start on my first pick in that same vein with Allison. And for Allison, I am getting the 4-person survival kit deluxe.
Nice.
To prepare for earthquake, evacuation, emergency disaster preparedness kit for 72 hours for homework or auto. And that is from the Survival Prep Warehouse, $200 on Amazon. I just feel like Allison is very prepared for a lot of things, but she's never prepared for being kidnapped or needing to disappear. You know, she's always like, oh, well, what do we do? Let's get out of town. It's like, get this thing. Yeah. I mean, this is probably the one I would consider buying for myself this year. I hate to say
that,
but
pretty great.
As you know, we live in earthquake land and
The
big one's coming. I don't think I'll get the 4-person premium survival kit, although I don't know. That sounds kind of selfish, though, now that I say it. I just need myself to survive. But this comes with, like, pouches of water and 2,400-calorie food bars, water purification tablets, hand-cranked AM-FM radio, which I already have one. Actually, I have a solar radio. Flashlights that whistle. I think that's a really good thing. 4 Mylar sleeping bags, 4 ponchos, 2 tube tents with a rope. I don't even know what that would look like, but it sounds great. Pocket knife. Oh, my gosh. I really need this kit. Gloves, soaps, toothbrushes, toothpaste, but I don't need four of everything. I think that would be overkill. My family is actually more organized than me. I don't think they need me to take care of them.
They're probably set.
Yeah. Oh, and a deck of cards. I love that.
That is really neat.
So anyway, I think that's a great present for Allison and for anyone who, you know, is sometimes assailed by unknown evil forces that might take them away or try to kidnap their kids.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. And along those same lines, for Helena, I picked two things because I can.
yes, you can.
The first is a maternity pillow.
Oh.
And it's a big, long, it's probably like 8 feet long, and it wraps around and it helps like support, and you can have it fit between your legs so you're like curled around it, just like all of these things, because I feel like she doesn't spoil herself as much as she probably could, as especially seen in this episode, which we'll get to. But in additionally to that, I feel like she needs a 3-pack of the Life Straw, which is the water filter that's just in the straw.
Yes.
And so you just sip it out of a creek and you're set.
I think that's in some of the earthquake preparedness kits too, but I didn't.
Probably.
There's so many items in those kits.
But
that was, I remember reading about that. It's called the Life Straw.
Yeah.
Cool. That is, those are excellent gifts for Helena. And she, maybe we'll have more gifts at the end of this recording of this series, because we only have 10 episodes left, so we'll be done well before next Christmas.
But we'll have an end of show party.
A party. That sounds great. Okay, well, I'm going to move on to Felix, who has been so much fun this season with his fantastic get-ups when he's going undercover with Crystal that I thought he would enjoy. There is an actual book you can buy called Undercover Disguise Methods for Investigators, Quick Change Techniques for Both Men and Women. And it just sounds like fun. I'm like, maybe I can get this from the library. I don't think I need to buy it for myself. But, you know, people are saying disguises don't need to be complicated to be effective. So Felix doesn't have to dress up as Sherlock Holmes, although he was very hysterical.
That was
like
so
that.
Funny.
Or he might want to use this book just to give Crystal a little bit of a disguise makeover, because Crystal's idea of a disguise isn't very disguising. anyway, I think that would be fun and funny. And that is my pick for Felix.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, then I will go to Crystal, because they're kind of intertwined. Mm-hmm. And along the same vein of what you did for Felix, I chose field notes, specifically the heartbeat one, because I feel like she would really appreciate the hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But she needs a really good, solid, easy way to keep track of all of her notes.
Yes.
Because girl has got some skills. Acknowledging and recognizing the hints are a little bit more difficult. But for the most part, she needs a good, solid place to make those notes. And so field notes are the things.
That's an excellent idea. Field notes are a good thing for keeping track of your various makeup industrial complex theories. all right. Well, I am going to go to MK. And I found two things for MK, and I forgot that I had already found one, and I put the second one in my browser bookmarks, and I'm like, how do I have two things here? Oh, they're both for MK. And so I'm calling it a set. At Land's End, they have the cutest felt animal scuff slippers, and one of the options is sheep.
Oh,
so you get little sheep slippers. I think that would be great for MK. She's probably a size 6, I hope, because that's the only size left in stock right now. So the sheep were the most popular of the various animals that they had on the Land's End site, interestingly enough. But the other idea I had for MK was to go to the Cotton Bureau, to the incomparable shop, and get her the hoodie with the robot, the incomparable robot. MK does like wearing her, like, interesting t-shirts and hoodies, zip-ups type things. And I thought the incomparable robot would be right on brand for MK, and in black, of course.
Of course. Oh, that's so perfect. I think she would be very fantastic in the incomparable hoodies. As would you, listener.
Ha. Yes. And we will have a link to the show notes.
Yeah, of course. So for Rachel, last season, she had some use of her arm, mm-hmm. but it definitely was not at 100%. And so in honor of the usage of... In honor of her fantastic knife skills, I chose a cutting board that's made for use by one hand.
Huh.
You can also open a jar and grip a bowl and peel. And basically, it's got this clamp that lets you put things into sticks. You can also, like, stick meat on some of the, like, vertical thing so that it stays solid while you cut it. Basically, the fantastic epitome of magical usage for single arm kitchen
mm-hmm.
things.
That is really good. I never thought about that before. And now I know that it exists. There's probably somebody I know who could use one.
Yeah. And there's so many different options. There's a wide variety. It all depends on what space you have, what you're looking for. This one was 12 by 11 inches. But yeah, there's so many options out there. It's amazing when this becomes part of your life, like, what you learn.
Right. Right. Well, my last pick is for Cosima. We love Cosima. And you know what? I couldn't pick one thing for her, but I'm going to try, which is there. Again, at Land's End, they have a whole line of Thermaskin long underwear. Nice. I just feel that Cosima is always underdressed. And maybe that's because she's from California. And even though she's lived in Minnesota and Toronto or wherever, I don't think she bundles up as well as she can, and especially in the season 4 finale where she very nearly died of hypothermia. And I think that it didn't look that cold out that she should have gotten so messed up on. And so anyway, they have this really adorable print called Black Galaxy. And so it's black, but with like this smattering of stars across it. And I just can totally see Cosima looking very cute in the, you know, long top, scoop neck top, plus the long underwear pants and Black Galaxy, also on sale at Land's End right now.
So exciting.
But as I was in the Cotton Bureau site, I was thinking, you know, Cosima, you know, wears a t-shirt now and again. And the one that I thought she would like is a design called Families Belong Together, which is certainly a theme of Orphan Black. And the design is really nicely done. And there's a very nice shade of green they call military green. I would call it fern green, but whatever. And I could totally see Cosima in that t-shirt as well.
She would be nice and cozy and hopefully heal.
Yeah. She has to get off the island before she can wear short sleeve t-shirt again.
That's
first
true.
The long underwear. She needs that now.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so our final Sestra Santra gift giving is to sweet Kira, because she deserves some happiness. So I picked out two things for her as well, because that's just who I am. And the first is this pretty incredible portable art studio.
Mm.
So it all seals up in a box, which of course is perfect for running away. It has an easel attached, but it also has oil paints, watercolor paints, acrylic paints, oil pastels, paper, the brushes and pencils and everything that she could need to create her beautiful pictures that she does.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is a little bit more fun, and that's a Minecraft 4-book guide collection to help her enjoy and really explore Minecraft. Because, again, she needs to escape a little bit into a different world that she has a little bit more control over.
Yeah, that's for sure. Wow. Well, those are great presents for Kira, and I'm glad we included her this year in Sestra Santa Secret Presents, whatever. Secret Sestra. I think I like that because then it's year-round.
Yeah, I like Secret Sestra, and then we can do it at the end of the show too.
Yes. Well, thanks, Kathy, for playing that game with me again. I just enjoy it's shopping without spending money unless you decide to buy one of the things. And
it can be dangerous.
It can be dangerous. But it could be dangerous not to have an earthquake preparedness kit.
That is also very true.
Oh, all right. Well, we're not going there. We have enough trouble over on Sestra Island. It's not so, I call it the island of Dr. Moreau now because it's just totally so Dr. Moreau.
Oh, it's so Dr. Moreau. Or should it be the Isle of Dr. Westmoreland?
The Isle of Dr. Westmoreland. Yeah, that's very good. So The Few Who Dare is the name of the episode. This season, the titles come from a poem called Protest by Ella Wheeler Wilcox. And it's a really nice short poem and quite moving. And we'll put a link to it, of course, in the show notes. And there is just right in the middle of the poem, the few who dare must speak and speak again to right the wrongs of many. Da-da. It's going to be that kind of season. We're going to be fighting for the rights and the justice for the Sestras, and we're pretty excited about moving on with this. And so this poem is quite elegant because it's quite short, yet they extracted 10 episode titles out of it. So, all right. So we are, where are we? We're on the beach. No, yeah. All of a sudden, I'm like, what's this about sheep slippers? Oh, that's a different thing. it's distracting to go from gifting mode to action adventure mode. Yeah, Sarah's on the beach. So many things. Oh, we didn't get Sarah a phone charger. She could have used that.
That's very true. Unfortunately, I picked my things before I watched the episode.
Yeah. She's calling Felix. Her phone is on 2% remaining battery. Yeah. And Ira and Felix are together, and Sarah's trying to find out information about, so she's escaped from the house. If you remember from season 4, episode 10, Rachel stabbed Sarah in the thigh, and she's bleeding badly and hobbling, but she's faster than Rachel, so she escaped. And she's trying to figure out where she should go, because Cosima and Charlotte have already left. And Sarah's goal here is to find Cosima and bring her home. And she talks to Ira about something about a boat launch downstream from the village. And Felix is like, what village? They're all like, what village? So that's the first we really hear that there's for sure a village there, although we've seen little pictures of it, you know, of the yurts and such. So, yeah.
So we then flash to that village, in fact, where Rachel is at the bottom of the stairs. And it's very epic. It's very, you know, triumphant return type of a thing, which was, I thought, very fitting because Rachel gets to go visit P.T. Westmoreland.
Yes.
And you can just feel her excitement. She's like giddy almost.
She's so into it. It's true. And I think Ferdinand would be very disappointed in her at this moment because he doesn't believe in all that malarkey. But Rachel, and it's like a mansion and it's set up on a hill. So not everybody is living in a yurt in this village. Now, Sarah's, she tries to start a fire and she ends up burning Kira's photo as kindling, which was really like, oh, so, you know, my heart was like, oh, that's so, she, you know, feeling bad and good at the same time. Kira's picture could provide the warmth to keep her alive.
Especially since she's missing again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. If Ferdinand is absconded with them, with S and Kira. It's so hard to keep track of who's kidnapped where. in this scene, I have to say, I file it under my, you know, Sestra tricks for future use in an emergency, using a tampon to bandage her bleeding wound. Wouldn't have thought of that. So it's up there with, you know, drinking the soap in the bathroom to make yourself puke. And
you do what you got to do.
You do what you got to do. And while she's got this fire going, some crazy person, it seems like, comes and attacks her. And she manages to fight him off with a rock. And he takes off.
Thank goodness Kira woke her up.
Oh, that's what it was.
Flashes of Kira in her dream type of a thing managed to wake up Sarah so that she could get ready with this thing that attacks.
I get it now. Yeah, I knew that she and Kira were still connected, you know, even though Sarah's asleep, but she woke her up. That's really good.
Yeah.
So then that's the opening credits. And the next thing you see is Sarah sharpening a stick. So she needs a weapon and a walking stick. And it totally reminds me of Helena. Like,
oh, yeah. She went full Helena in this mode.
Then the action moves to the camp where Cosima is.
She's dreaming of when Delphine put her into bed, basically, and it's just like, you know, don't tell anyone,
right?
Which is, you know, appropriately ominous. Because what is she not supposed to tell? Who knows? We'll see. But Cosima wakes up. She's got oxygen for sleeping. She takes the oxygen off, puts her glasses on, and tries to leave. But the door is locked. Mm-hmm. So she goes and, like, digs through her bag with all of her goodies and things and finds a note that says, whatever happens, follow my lead.
Mm-hmm.
And then the door pops open, and here comes a girl named Mud, which I laughed fairly hard at that name. It was a very interesting choice, but, you know, what else are you going to do in a cultish type setting known as Revival, which has apparently been off the grid since 1908.
Yeah. Yeah, Mud. She's like, hello. Perky is what I wrote.
Yes, Perky's a good descriptor. And then hands over some lovely wellies. So just a quick reminder that we are in Canada, calling them wellies. But they're also, they looked like they were hunter boots, which are very expensive. And she has a Canada Goose jacket, which is also very expensive. So I don't know how much larger the final season budget was for clothing. But I thought that was very interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah. So, yeah. So she's, so Mud gives Cosima a little tour. She's very, I mean, she's just a wide-eyed, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed about the whole Neolution endeavor and say, you know, people are chosen from all over the world and we have this, you know, science, you know, to benefit them. And that's when Cosima said, well, I had some pretty beneficial science stolen from me. Mud, this is when Mud tells her, like, you know, we're all his children, you know, P.T. Westmoreland. So now Cosima's like, P.T. Westmoreland, it can't be him. And she says, yeah, he was 170 last June. I was like, what? I felt like Mud is like a little mini Cosima in her own right. Like Cosima, like excited about the science Cosima.
Yeah. And I wonder if Mud was a born in there, partially because of the name, like that was kind of a little bit of a giveaway for going full cult. But with the excitement and the trust that she has by being the one to come and like prep Cosima and give her a tour, it sounds like she is, you know, the child of somebody or whatnot. Like was born in the system. And so she has all of this information and the knowledge. And so she believes in it because it's pretty much probably all she's ever known.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my guess.
Yeah. And then Cosima and Charlotte find each other. So I guess Charlotte's in revival daycare or whatever.
Right. Schooling.
Of course, there's always a school.
I mean, these children have to learn appropriate things.
Yeah. And Charlotte asks about Susan and Mud, you know, pipes up to say, oh, I hear she'll pull through, you know, family feuds, gossip, who knows? Like, you know, that stuff goes way back.
Yeah. And, but that was very exciting to know that she was dead.
Yeah. Because she seemed like she was going to be dead at the end of the last season, right?
Yeah, that's what I would have guessed.
Yeah, I thought when I first watched this episode and found out Susan was still alive, I was like, really? How'd they pull that off? But, you know, it is a TV show, too. Yeah. Let's not forget. And when they have a good character that they haven't really used up yet, they hate to get rid of them. But so now we switch to the safe house. Where Felix is coming to check up on, you know, what happened to Siobhan and Kira. And Art shows up and startles Felix. Felix has a pan, had grabbed a pan, and he's like, I almost hit you with a pan. And Art's like, I almost shot you, so we're even.
That was so cute.
That was very funny. And then Art's like, I don't know who is legit and who is Neo anymore, you know, meaning on the force, like they're the police force. He's already had Duco. And then that other guy whose name I can't remember, who was there when they were after the women from Brightborn. And let's just assume everyone is Neo. Art. That's what you should do, Art.
Right. Like you just. Everyone's going to be Neo. And so he's like, yeah, you know, they're swarming over because of all the Duco stuff. And so he's got to just be extra aware of what's going on. And so he, like, they're trying to figure out where Ferdinand would have taken him. Mm-hmm. Felix can't contact Siobhan's network, which is kind of scary that, like, she can't contact mm-hmm. them. Art just wants to make sure that Felix talks to Allison and tells them to stay safe. They need to stay out of it. They need to stay where they are so that they are safe, which is, of course, not going to happen.
Right.
If we know Allison, which I feel very confident that we do, she's not going to just sit idly by and let other people protect her.
Yeah. No.
And I, you know that she hates the fact that she has to stay with Helena and have Helena take care of her when she wants to be the one that's taking care of Helena.
Yeah.
Helena's pregnant and she wants to support that.
Yeah. So, right. So she's like, well, get packing, mister. It's like, here we go again. So, yeah, she's not going to sit still. Then, oh, yeah, back at the precinct, Art gets a new partner, you know.
Yeah.
See above. Assume they're all Neos, Art.
Yeah.
And
which is a pretty good guess.
Yeah. And
surprise, she is, but we don't find that out yet.
Yeah, no, we don't. But we don't think she's just like an average partner being assigned to him of a sudden. But her name's Maddie Engel, and she's very tall and young, one of the graduates of the super young women's detective school that populates their graduates populate every crime show on TV, at least in the US. We already don't like her. Her reason she got switched is her previous partner was overly versed in sensitivity training, whatever that's supposed to mean. I don't like her.
No, that whole thing, I was just like, I'm getting a bad vibe. And not just because you should assume everyone is a Neo. She just, is not happy.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, they're on the island of Dr. Westmoreland. Sarah sees like security people, right? And she knows.
She found the boathouse.
She found the boathouse, right.
Yep.
Sarah's looking for Cosima, so she's trying to figure out where Cosima is and how she's going to escape with her. But there is an air of like not quite goal-oriented stuff that Sarah keeps. She's walking around. She doesn't really have a map. So whatever.
She's very much like, I am going to get through this by forcing myself into the situation, not really planning, like that's kind of her MO. And somehow she managed to find the boathouse, which is great. In this scene, we learn as well that they are bringing dogs down from the village.
Right. So she starts walking through the streams because anybody who watches television and watches People on the Lam know walk in the water so that your scent doesn't get stuck on the paths, but filed away under future tips. But we've seen that before. And at the village, so at Revival, Delphine is doing an intake with a family from Afghanistan, a little girl who has cancer, and her name's Aisha, and she says, "We came for the fountain," which I think was kind of eerie sounding.
Yeah.
But I immediately
think, oh, this must be like the fountain of youth.
Yeah.
Like that's where my brain went. Obviously, we don't know yet if that's what it is, but yeah.
Yeah. And then it turns out we see that Delphine does have the cure, so it hasn't been stolen from Cosima, except by Delphine, and probably for good reason to keep it safe.
Yeah.
And I have bearded dude, old bearded dude.
Yeah, it apparently his character title is The Messenger.
The Messenger. Okay. Yay.
According to Amazon.
Okay. So the messenger comes to the door and he says, it's time. He wants to see it. What is he talking about there?
I think he's talking about something to do with Westmoreland.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what other research Delphine is doing. And I mean, we learn a little bit later, like, that Delphine is believing in the science, and something happens to where mm-hmm. Delphine has to go to what country was it?
Sardinia.
Sardinia, which of course I don't where
Sardinia.
Have we heard of Sardinia before?
I know it's meaningful to Cosima. I don't think we've heard about it yet. Okay. Or maybe it was glancingly mentioned.
Okay, because I some didn't research. Remember anything. Yeah. And of course, I'm not going to Google it because I know better.
That's smart.
For my own sake. But yeah, because I was like, this seems very poignant and it means a lot. And so obviously the Westmoreland is in charge of the entire island and whatnot. Yeah. And the fact that he's sending her to this place mm-hmm. has to be meaningful.
Yeah.
And so something that she has done or found or whatnot is for him. And so that's where she needs to go. Is she has, I'm guessing that she's going to meet with Westmoreland to talk about whatever it is that she discovered
mm-hmm.
for things.
Yeah. So meanwhile, back at the rabbit hole, this is a really interesting scene. For one thing, I couldn't think of any other scene that we've watched in this show that has four men in it and no women.
Yeah.
Felix, Ira, Hell Wizard, and Scotty.
Unless you count the scenes in jail.
Oh, yeah. But for the main characters without a clone or Mrs. S or Kira, you know, it's No, that's true. Jail was pretty male.
Yeah, but other than that, like, this is pretty much the only one.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, which was kind of, it was kind of cool to see them.
Yeah. You know, they're trying to get information from Ira, and he's just like, you know, big-eyed Ira, who hasn't been on solid ground for a while now.
Yes, and he's been betrayed and assaulted and like
tied up here and down there. And
I feel bad for Ira.
I do feel a little bad for Ira, but he's just like, they call it revival. That's all I know. You know, Susan refused to go there anymore. And Felix is so funny. This is a great Felix scene, actually. It's not just Felix being funny or being like the sidekick. He is running this meeting.
He's in charge of the prisoner. He's in charge of the interrogation. He's running the show, and it's kind of great to see him in charge.
And there's just a really good shot at the end of that scene where Felix is going back to the safe house, and he's basically said, okay, Hell Wizard and Scotty, you know, keep on doing what you're doing, and you're guarding Ira. And there's like this like long shot with Hell Wizard and Scotty standing there as if they're like two like action heroes, you know, like with their arms folded over their chests. I just like that a lot.
So intimidating. I was like, oh, they're growing up. They're not these innocent little let's play the game things. They're coming in with like, we'll intimidate you.
Speaking of intimidation, so Art and Maddie are in the car again. Assume she's a Neo and don't get into her car and let her drive you out into the middle of nowhere. But that's exactly what's happening. And I think Art actually knows that, you know, like he is actually, I think, feeling kind of you know, resigned to the fact that he's got another Neo undercover plant as a partner. And he's like, what are we doing out here? And she has a file in her messy car. She pulls out this file and it's like, we want Allison. We want to know where they are, you know, and the file has photos. So Helena, we want, because she'll know where this one is, Helena. And, you know, and I don't think you understand, Art, what we're willing to do to find them. And like the last picture in the stack is a photo of Art's daughter, which is what?
Yeah.
So
they're willing to do whatever the heck they want.
Yep. Yeah, better embrace the new future because it's going to be here real soon, yeah. Art. So that's depressing. Once again, Art being, you know, himself, you know, mixed up in the whole thing, and himself and his daughter in danger as well. So,
yeah. And so it's perfect time for a little bit of lighthearted
yes.
happiness. So Donnie steps out to send a call for Helena with the loon calls, which apparently works. And it's so – he's so excited that it worked.
Yeah.
And it was super cute. And so he does his little call, and Helena, you see, like – perks up almost like a deer, like behind a log going, oh, what's going on? And so they communicate a little bit and Donnie's excited, you know, yeah, skills. And then yeah. Helena sees a bad guy come through and so sends out an emergency call to which Donnie is just like, what is that? Is that really the emergency loon call?
Yeah.
And is about to have a questioning call of some sort. And then two more bad guys show up and they go after Allison and take her out. And he's just like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he runs away, but yep. drags his rolling bag behind him. Oh, Donnie.
Yeah. That is. It is a lighthearted moment, you know, with the loon calls, and then quickly goes from lighthearted to like, oh dear, they just black bagged, you know, Allison over the head, and Donnie can't do anything about it, you know, but he needs to like realize that and then run away as his better choice than trying to save Allison, because he wouldn't be able to. We all know that. Yeah, that was just that image of Donnie running through the woods with the rolling bag trailing behind is back to being funny.
So,
there's a quick scene at the safe house. Felix gets there and he gets surprised by somebody named Mr. Frontenac.
New person.
Famous Canadian name in Quebec, Frontenac. But this is not that guy. This is just a randomly named character, Mr. Frontenac. And I was going to say, I feel like there's a lot of red shirts in this episode too.
Yeah, a lot more like, surprise, here's a new side character that we're going to kind of put out here just because we need to.
Yeah, but don't we worry, they'll get killed or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about Mr. Frontenac, you know, and to be clear, like, even though I've watched these episodes, it's been a really long time since I've watched this season and I don't have a very good memory. I think that's been established. So Felix, is basically the guy is saying like, look, just come with me. We're getting all the family together. You know, we just want to make a deal with you all to leave you alone. You know, you're cool. Everything's cool. P.S. It is not cool. But
yeah.
So then there's a scene where this van pulls up. So out in the middle of nowhere where Art and Maddie are parked, this van pulls up and that's where they have Allison, you know, inside. And Maddie, Detective Engel, she is threatening Allison, saying like, you got to tell me, where will I find Helena? And you know, and Art's trying to tell her that too. So Art, it you know, you have this moment of thinking like, is Art just on their side now? And you're sure that he really isn't, but what is he going to do right now? Like he,
right. Just how like, is he going to manage this?
Right. And so he's basically saying like, look, we want you all to come in, all the Sestras, and we'll take care of you. And then Engel's like, oh, I'm sworn not to harm a hair on a single clone head. And then she punches Art in the kidneys, like makes him like stumble, and then holds a gun to his head and saying like, come on, Allison, tell me what you need to know. And it's like, whoa. So there's Art, you know, with gun at his head right away. And Allison, she doesn't know. I mean, who knows what Helena does? Nobody, you know, like yeah. Helena does what Helena does. And at that moment, you know, Engel says, okay, I believe you. And looks at Art and say, we done? And he says, we're just getting started, partner. And I thought, remember that, Detective Engel.
Yeah.
Just getting started. So there's some more scenes of Sarah wandering around the island with the pointy stick hobbling, finding, you know, some more evidence of somebody living in the woods, killing wild animals.
Yeah, and fresh skin hanging thing. And it's got yeah. all sorts of weird things.
There's a lot of furs in this episode.
Yes. And why do furs always smell like furs?
Yes. That's Alice. That's another great Allison quote. Yeah. And they are, then they go show their Charlotte and Cosima together. And Charlotte is reading from the children's book for Neolutionists or revival camp members, their propaganda, which is yes. like any other propaganda. And death and illness haunt us no longer. And she says to Cosima, this place is scary, which is that I thought that was very perceptive of her to not be taken in by the propaganda.
Yeah.
And that's when Delphine comes in and she's like, I'm sorry, I don't have any time to talk. I'm going on this research trip, Sardinia, you know, and it is, it's like they try to stuff a lot into this, what is supposed to be like, you know, very quick scene between them, because this is where it kind of comes out that Delphine is actually quite taken by the science that they're doing. You know, the science is real. This revival camp is a decades long prolongevity study, you know, all this kind of keeping people alive longer is the heart of Neolution if you're going to change the gene pool. Yeah.
And it's something that I managed to forget. I mean, Delphine was Neolution. She
right.
was major Dr. Leakey supporter and whatnot. And Cosima comes in and she changes her loyalties for the most part, but she's still a Neolution fangirl.
Yeah. Yeah, we see like that.
She'll do what she can to save and support Cosima, but it's still about the science.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets excited, and Delphine also hands over a key to the room with the treatment where mm-hmm. she tells her where it's hidden and tells her to follow the crazy science.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was pretty eerie. Scene where starting out in the mess hall, I mean, the scene starts with like an overview of the whole revival camp, and it's one of our best views of the whole thing. But it like zooms into the mess hall where Cosima is eating, and there's Mutt, and she's like, hello. And then she's like, do you want to be left alone? Cosima's like, it's a complicated question. But, you know, she's still smarting from Delphine leaving and etc. And then some weird music starts playing over the public address system.
Yeah, it felt very much Hunger Games.
Yes, it did. It definitely had anything, any movie you've seen, science fiction or dystopian wise, where there are loudspeakers
yes.
and weird stuff gets played over them. This is just like that. And I did not try to make out the lyrics or whatever. It actually also, it reminded me of like old style Soviet propaganda stuff, say, at a camp, like, say, a pioneer youth camp for children or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Not that I've been in one, but I have some knowledge of that era of Russian history. So, yeah, so now it's getting exciting. Like, I'm like, whoa, what's going to happen now? And Mudd says, PT has something to tell us, you know. So I'm thinking, oh, we're finally going to hear from him. But then coming down the steps and totally dolled up, you know, great outfit with a hood.
Oh, yeah, she looked amazing.
Rachel. It's Rachel, and she's addressing the crowd. And that's when you finally see, okay, crazy Rachel. Rachel was not totally, you know, 100% sane, but now she's really crazy.
Yeah.
And she's giving this speech about, you know, it's time to be brave, to sacrifice. The fruits of 200 years of science are within our grasp, and we here shall drink from the fountain first. And it's like, ooh, just give me
fountain
goosebumps. And then the camera pans over, and you can see that Sarah is finally in the camp. Thank goodness, because we can't watch her hobble around in the woods anymore. And she's watching, you know, undetected, and watching Rachel make this speech. So, well, anyway, it's going to get interesting. I can't wait till we see PT Westmoreland. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah, already. I know. I was expecting, and then just Rachel on the stairs.
Rachel. Jerk. So back to the woods. Donnie is getting into their car. Of course, there's one more bad guy out there in the woods, probably waiting, staking out the car. And he's like, you know, going to stop him. And they immediately play that scratchy Helena music.
Right.
As if you didn't know.
Save the day.
And Donnie, when he sees her, he's just like, oh, no. Like, he knows what's going to happen now. Somebody's going to be brutally attacked.
Yes.
But red shirt. Yeah. And, I mean, I try to figure out what happened in the scene. She jumps on his back. She kind of tackles him.
Yeah,
she has him down.
It's choking him, and he falls down, and she ends up landing on a stick.
She lands on a stick. Okay, that's very weird.
Yeah, because the angle of that was very odd, but, you know, Donnie's got to save the day somehow.
Yeah.
He can't save it from a bad guy, so he's got to save it by taking...
Well, I think he saved that bad guy, actually, because didn't he use the gun to just... knock him out.
Oh, yeah. He just punched him in the face.
Oh, he did. So.
Yeah.
So
and then it was like, ow, my hand.
Right. All right. So, so Helena rolls out of this scene, and there's a stick protruding from her abdomen, and she's like, there's a stick in the baby. And it's like, no.
At least he didn't go to remove the
stick. I know.
That's the only thing I was thinking.
I was wondering too. He's not going to take the stick out. He should know better. They all should know better. Over back in Revival, Cosima is sneaking out to go over to the infirmary to get the cure, the treatment that she has the key from Delphine, and she sneaks in and she's looking for the medicine when Sarah surprises her. And so, you know, Cosima didn't even know Sarah was coming to the island. So it's a big surprise. What are you doing here? I'm here to get you. But all Cosima wants to do is first aid on Sarah's wound, rightfully so. She's like, you're bleeding, and Sarah's like, she wants to get away. She's found a boat to take them. And so Cosima doesn't want to go, though, which is really interesting. You know, Sarah says, who cares if the founder of Neolution is still alive? And Cosima says, I do. I knew she was going to say that, you know, because there's science there. Whatever this place is, there's answers here. So,
and she's gotten a tip from... you know, Delphine, that the science is real and mm-hmm. like doing believing in all of that, that this is real things, that the not only can she hopefully heal, but mm-hmm. hopefully they can help other people.
Right. Right. Then that's, you know, definitely part of the mission is to save all the Sestras, even the ones we don't know. So Sarah leaves, and then Cosima gets out this killer-looking, you know, syringe.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is she going to do with that?
You know what she's going
to
do with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so she tries to inject herself with the cure, but it's not simple to and inject so yourself.
She's definitely scared. It's going to hurt. Yeah. I mean, the needle I used for the fertility treatments as a uh-huh. surrogate was really thick, and it was not nearly that long. Uh-huh. But I still, like, I used a heating pad and was able to, like, pinch the skin a little bit to get it in. So the fact that she's just going to go straight in the gut, like, I'm just cringing.
Yeah. It's very cringeworthy scene all around. And then Rachel shows up, and Rachel is like, I don't know what you're trying to do here, or I do know what you're trying to do here, and you're not going to succeed by yourself. Why don't you let me help you? And she's talking to Cosima while she's delivering the shot, she says, you know, he wants you to be a part of all of this. You and I are going to cure us all. And I was like, oh, we're supposed to like Rachel for about 2 seconds again.
Right. Yeah. And yet not really.
Yeah.
She's doing it for herself. But again, like there's this stuff about the science. Mm-hmm. It's all about the science. And for Cosima, and Rachel knows that. She knows that it's not like – it's not just about her. It's not just about her direct sisters, but for the entire everyone. Mm-hmm. And Rachel is being Rachel and going to manipulate to get everyone to support her as much as possible. And I found it very interesting. This is the first time that I've really seen disconnection when they have the two clones together.
Oh, really?
Everything else has been really seamless, but with Rachel interacting with Cosima's abdomen, rubbing the alcohol swab mm-hmm. and with the needle, mm-hmm. it was not flawless.
Hmm. And I'm going to go back and watch that.
And yeah.
That's interesting.
I thought that would be the end of the episode, but it's not, because of course Sarah is finally at the boathouse. It's taken the entire episode to get there, but she's made it. And the boat is there as well, and she's grabbing stuff to get into the boat. But then she gets hit by a tranquilizer dart mm-hmm. by some person. The flashlight rolls into the water, and it's just a very artistic scene sprinkled with Kira trying to wake her up again. Mm-hmm. But instead, it's Rachel that waltzes in and says, it's a new day, Sarah. So Rachel's, I'm sure, super excited to have access to Sarah's healthy womb for the science. Mm-hmm. So it'll be really interesting to see what episode 2 brings.
Yes. Thank goodness we can keep going again.
Yeah.
I want to find out what happens next. But
yes,
this was, I think, you know, this was a good opening season show for reminding you what all happened before. Because remember, the people who watched this when this first came out had waited a year to see this. And so you might have forgotten some things about the island or whatever. That was good. But, you know, and it set a lot of things in motion set the stage for things that are going to happen. But it's not one of the best season openers that we've had. I think that last season's with the Beth flashback was one of the best. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was not necessarily disappointed, but between the combination of last season ending with a cliffhanger, our first real season ending cliffhanger feeling, and then this one just kind of was like, meh. It's just, I'm just excited we have 9 more episodes.
Yes, we have 9 more. All right. Well, I think we should put a pin in this one and move on to episode 2.
Shall we?
Big needle. Big needle. Ouch, 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 ouch.
Oh, but thank you so much for listening to this episode of SestraCast. We hope you enjoyed it and welcome back for season 5. Excited to get this done. You can find us online. We are at SestraCast.com, where we are a part of the amazing Incomparable Network. You can find us on Twitter. We are at SestraCast. I am at Mrs. Soup and Jean is at Mac Genie. And you can also find links in our show notes to all of the delightful Sestra, what do we decide? Secret Sestra gifts, in case you want to share it with a Sestra in your life. So we hope you have an amazing holiday season and we will talk to you later.